most men don't receive flowers until their funeral. And I started doing that in my personal circle and started giving flowers out to cousins, loved ones, whoever it was. And I think Our Men Deserve Flowers is a really great representation of welcoming the door for vulnerability and just being human at the end of the day, which is connected in emotions, and how even like the physical representation of receiving flowers has so much weight to it.
We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say every girl has a story, what do we mean? The girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start? What about the girl whose father is in prison? The girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch? The girl desperate for a break from her home, even just for a moment? By opening up and sharing these experiences, we not only empower ourselves, but also inspire others. Unconditional sisterhood, unwavering community, and the realness. We express, we create, then we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Love Girls, the podcast. I am your co-host, Jasmine Babers-Gunn. Don't forget the gun. And I am here with my favorite sister, Kayla Babers. Say hi, Kayla.
Hey, y'all. I am Jasmine's favorite sister, Kayla Babers. No gun.
And she may or may not be my only sister, but still my favorite sister. And I'm also joined by my favorite intern, Amaya.
Hi, my name is Amaya Woods. I currently attend Augustana College. I am currently a junior and plan to major in electrical engineering.
Amazing. And we're also joined by one of my favorite fellows. She can't be my favorite because we have several, but one of my favorite fellows, Ileana.
Hi, I'm Ileana. I'm proud to say I'm a Latina, and I attend Rock Island High School. I am currently a junior right now, and just a little snippet about me is I am a cancer survivor. I'm going into 5 years now, cancer survivor, so yep.
Ooh, okay.
Today, we're excited to welcome Iris, co-founder of Seed to Tolo, a powerful collective and community whose impact goes far beyond fashion. Since their start in 2020, Seed to Tolo has been curating bold, unfiltered designs that reflect their authentic voices. But their vision doesn't stop with apparel. They've expanded into hosting conversations and events around mental health, healing, and community connection. From pop-ups like Men Deserve Flowers, to their Wellness Olympics and Coffee No Ice. This brand continues to push boundaries, create safe spaces, and reimagine what it means to care for ourselves and each other. We're diving into their story, their impact, and how they're using creativity and culture to build community. Their tagline says it best, dope brands for dope people. Iris, welcome to the podcast.
I loved all the intros. Hi, everyone. My name is Idais. Also go by Iris. So I feel like there is like the pre-Idais and then the pre and then the post-Idais. So it's always interesting, but I do go by both. So Iris and Idais are both accepted. I am the co-founder of Sin Titulo. I am so excited to be here with all of you all.
And we are so excited to have you. I remember the first time that you told me, I feel like you told me, or maybe I heard your mom call you Irais. And I was like, ooh, I love that. And then I started calling you Irais in the house. And you're like, where did you get that from? And I was like, if it's good enough for mom, it's good enough for me. So I love that. I love that more and more people are calling you that because I think your name is stunning. And I also feel like I've had the honor of seeing a little bit of like your journey of you growing and of you building this really special brand. And so I would love for you to kind of start from the the beginning. Like, what is your origin story when it comes to building this beautiful brand?
It's so, I love that we're going down like memory lane a little bit, because you knew me before my brand. And now it is so prominent on how Sin Titulo has really come into what it is today. So Sin Titulo is translated to without a title. It started off as an apparel line and now has grown into what is now like a community building brand of really cultivating mental health discussions that we didn't necessarily grow up with, networking events of just connecting dope individuals, and still at our core having apparel that unapologetically elevates our voices without speaking. So that's a little bit about us in a nutshell.
I distinctly remember like you like making the t-shirts and like the very beginnings of the brand, and like you were like making these t-shirts from like scratch and like doing the designs, and like I have several, Ryan has several, like we have the crew necks with like the logo, I have Christmas ornaments, like I have a lot of merch. And I'm interested in the title itself. I always feel like when I say it, I get embarrassed because you like Sin Titulo, yes?
Close.
Help, SOS.
SOS. Sin, without, and then Titulo.
Titulo, Titulo.
Yeah. So the letter T and then two. Like the number two, and then lo.
Titulo.
Maybe that helps?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Titulo,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So where does the name come from? And like, what does it symbolize about your brand?
So originally it started off as a placeholder. So no like grand like boardroom where we were like, okay, like this is going to be our name and this is what really exemplifies what we stand for. I, looking back at that, as you asked that question, it really was important for us to continue this momentum of wanting to have this problem-solving brand, which at the end of the day, we wanted to elevate our voices without speaking. There was just a lot of mental strain that came with the pandemic, and we wanted to go to a grocery store and say what we wanted to, but without physically having to tell everyone, like, I stand for this, I stand for social justice, I stand for X, Y, and Z, I love my culture, I love my identity. So it was a group chat name, and I messaged said that you needed to name it. We're like, what do we call it? So we said, without a title, like, let's just name it that. Then it came to making our Instagram, and we didn't have anything else, so we're like, we kind of like it. So very anticlimactic in that way, but I think it goes to show that a mission can serve a bigger purpose than the branding in the moment. And I hope that that doesn't let people say, like, I don't have a brand name, I don't have my brand colors, like, but I'm very passionate about X thing. I hope that still like lets them move forward with it. And I don't know if this is just foreshadowing, but you could always have a rebrand.
I feel like, was that a sneak peek? Did we get like the exclusive scoop? I feel like, I don't know. But we get it though, because we're also going through like our own little rebrand over here at Love Grows the Podcast. We're, of course, Love Grows the Podcast, but our parent company is sort of changing. And so we're navigating what it looks like to, grow. I think that's like the best way to put it. Like, you know, you've been doing this for 5 years. Love Girls Magazine has been around for a long time, what, 13 years. And we're so much more than a magazine, and we've grown and changed so much that we're looking at what it looks like to find a name that feels like it encompasses more of that. So I feel like I'm a chatty Cathy. I'll pass it over to Kayla or Ileana or Amaya to ask a question.
I was looking at the Instagram, and I love a good, I know we just talked about evolving from your brand when necessary, but you got it down pat as a creative, as somebody that works in marketing. I think my favorite kind of tagline you have is Hot Latinas Melt Ice. And like when I hear it, it's just getting purr. Like I love it. I absolutely love that. So if you could just kind of like dive into describing your design style, how you curated that identity, how your culture intertwines and all of that. Because I'm over here like, I need this, I need that. So Jazz, for Christmas, I need some merch, just so we're aware.
The Hot Latinas Melt Ice is so bold, so just me of just like wanting it to be known, but in a unique way. So that one was very, it's like witty. It's a little bit of everything. And I'm just having so much fun with the creativeness of that. So then we are actually going to do an event with that saying, and it's going to be a sauna and cold plunge wellness event. And I was like, see, it's just like getting the creativeness up another level. So I'm super excited for that. And even just like the photo shoot and the visuals of how I want our items to look, they are at the end of the day super culturally rooted, because I'm very proud of my background and who I am as an individual, that a lot of our shirts do represent Latinidad, Mexican American, first gen, all of the different aspects of who I am as a being. But also there are products that go beyond that diaspora. So like our More Black Lawyers is a great representation. That was one of our very first shirts, alongside the More Latinas, the More Latina Lawyer shirt, and the Men Deserve Flowers, and wanting to just be more inclusive. So I love the root of where we are because it is my identity, but then I just love that I've also expanded the conversations and the diversity and who we want to attract in terms of audience, who at the end of the day, yes, our name is Spanish. Yes, I am a Latina. But at the end of the day, I want to connect all dope individuals that are willing to listen, willing to have like humanity at the forefront, and willing to have conversations that maybe they didn't have growing up.
No, that's so important. And I feel like you touched on something that I wanted to talk to you more about in terms of like the layers of this brand and the growth of it. One, there's just so much to unpack here, because you talked about how you do this with your sisters. It's kind of a family affair. We can relate so much to that. But also when you started this, you were a corporate girly. And now you are no longer a corporate girly. You're doing this work full time, which is so exciting. But as somebody who's in a similar situation, it can be very scary. So just checking in to see how things are going and how you're feeling. And maybe if you can talk a little bit about that transition, especially in this economy. How's it going?
A really good question. I am so blessed and shocked at the same time on how I am able to still be here and feel like in a good place. It took a lot of just trusting that my name is in places that I don't even know about. So a lot of great collaborations have happened post me leaving my corporate job, which is coming up at a year anniversary. So I left last October. And I don't know, I just keep on like pushing forward. I had savings. I just kept on like going month by month. And thankfully, like it's going well. And I think that is also pushing me to stay more creative. And also with the amount of events and brands and everything that's going on, like from when we first started, being one of the very few that we're doing anything in this realm to now there's so many. I love that, because one, that means more for everyone, more in terms of more accessibility to mental health, more accessibility to community driven events. But then that also makes me not be comfortable. And that's a good and beautiful thing. My day looks different every day. We started a mini series called Today's Office. And sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's doing content for an event. It's having meetings. It is going to the White Sox and doing an event with them. So honestly, it's going well. I am glad to say that, but I'm always like on my toes. I'm like at any point, the instability is the reality of what it is to be an entrepreneur.
Do you have any advice for the girlies who are thinking about taking that step? Young people like Amaya or Eliana who might be dreaming about being an entrepreneur one day. Any words of wisdom for them?
I would say overall, I started leaning in on just like talking about it more. And I think that takes one, but also be selective, because there is also a fine line of like having too many people in your ear. One, have conversations about it and see what resources you could have, whether that is a licensed life coach or even my therapist has been helping a lot with just the navigation of it all. I would say do as many entrepreneurial classes, courses that you can. I had high school business courses that have still been so prominent today. I took Photoshop in high school, and that has been my source, my creativity platform for creating our flyers, for creating so much of our visuals. So it's so interesting that even a website design class, like I went to a small high school, like graduating class was under 200, but they had so many of these courses that have helped me. At the time, I didn't even know what entrepreneurship was. And then to now be that is incredible based on some of these little things that I thought were cool, but at the end of the day are like the tools that are in my toolbox when it comes to entrepreneurship. So always just be hungry in that aspect of whether that's self-taught, YouTube is free, and leading into the courses and talking about it with other individuals and see where you can get support, because it's definitely a team sport when it comes to entrepreneurship, even though I am a one-woman show.
What are some of the topics you like bring to the community that you didn't grow up hearing about?
Men and vulnerability. And I think Our Men Deserve Flowers is a really great representation of welcoming the door for vulnerability and just being human at the end of the day, which is connected in emotions. And how even like the physical representation of receiving flowers has so much weight to it, because most men don't receive flowers until their funeral. And I started doing that in my personal circle and started giving flowers out to cousins, loved ones, whoever it was. And it was always redirection, like, oh, I'll go give this to the Virgin Mary, which is a huge representation in Mexican culture. But it's like, no, like, I love that you want to give them to the Virgin Mary, but those flowers are for you. And then just knowing that, like, I just started noticing little things and I'm like, okay, like, even the acceptance of something that is a gift, like, why are men so easy to, like, I'm going to hot potato it over there. So then that was a very important conversation that I just noticed in my family, that I'm like, okay, I want to start creating environments in accessible ways, but then in also easily acceptable ways for men in particular. I think when we start navigating men and mental health, it is a different conversation. Whereas I could do an event for mental health and women automatically sign up. So happy that at the beginning of the year in January, the Chicago Bulls wanted to do an event with us, because that was so much stress off of me, because men saw that combination. They're like, I don't even read anything else but the Chicago Bulls. I will be there. And the amount of people that signed up so quickly, I'm like, you've been following us for years, or your partner has. You've never invited them to a mental health discussion, but it took this and I will take it. I don't care. Because then that started planting the seeds.
I have spent a good amount of time with Eliana, who is a fellow of ours. Eliana being here and being able to talk to you and hear the conversation and be a part of the conversation is really, really important. And I'm curious to hear a little bit about how the mental health element kind of came about and then started to become so prevalent in your work, because in the beginning, you know, it was a brand, you were doing t-shirts, and then I think that it has kind of grown and reshaped itself into like almost like a community. I don't want to say almost, it is a community. Like, you're building a community, you're building a movement, you're building a safe space around this brand. And I'm just curious to hear kind of like what was the, how did things switch and grow in that direction?
I always knew the different components of what I wanted our brand to look like, but I didn't have the answer quite yet. I was asked to be on a mental health panel at Talia Hall. And at the time, like, I was still just starting to get comfortable with public speaking. It was a lot, but after that conversation, so many different individuals of different backgrounds came up to me and they said, I really resonated with this. My family from the Philippines, and I really resonated with that one comment that you made about your family. I also have a difficult name, and you speaking on it, like, gave me clarity on X, Y, and Z. So it was that conversation that I was like, wait, I want to do this more. And I think this is a beautiful full circle moment of having a conversation about what's on the shirts, which was what I was seeking, which was to go beyond just handing a shirt to someone and being like, okay, like, thank you for supporting us and go about your day.
In POC, Black and Brown communities, mental health is always going to be something that is unfortunately harder for us to talk about. We see a lot of stigma, a lot of disparities with that and related to that in each of our communities. And I think we're making progress. I feel like our generation is kind of moving us forward. And although mental health is like a very serious topic and we take it very seriously, I like you how you incorporate very fun, catchy, some might say a little spicy commentary or taglines or things like that to kind of marry the two. So it's like, yes, we're talking about this difficult topic, but it doesn't have to be super scary. Can you kind of talk about the Wellness Olympics and why fun, movement, and play are important parts of kind of mental health and kind of taking that weight off? Because it's like, I have male friends, Black male friends, and getting them to open up is like trying to break into somebody's bank or vault. And so men deserve their flowers, and just incorporating these fun, soft things to break into these difficult conversations is beautiful. And I think you've done an excellent job. I'm going to stop rambling to answer the question. But it's just, as I'm speaking, I'm realizing like how impactful what you did, how impactful it was. And just for people to feel open and talking about it like I am right now.
To start off, before I forget, the Wellness Olympics, that one, I just knew that I didn't always want to talk about mental health like in the traditional context of where we would have like a panel, licensed therapist, I would moderate, typically have some community members, and then we talk about whatever topic it is. We've done anything from grief, growing up in an immigrant household, seasonal depression after the holidays, and how that hits anyone, everyone, especially in Chicago. So one, I know diversity is such a common, quote unquote, buzzword in society nowadays, but I truly want to diversify the audience, the topics that we speak on, and also like the levels of how we see healing and how it has different fonts.
As women of color, even though our experiences might be different, there's a lot of overlap. And sometimes being a corporate baddie myself, Jazz, all of us have been there and we know what that's like, mentally draining. How do you heal when you need to? Because sometimes I feel like it's hard for me to shut off my mind. Like, I'm going to work, I'm doing my photography business, we're doing Her Voice Media. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like for women of color, we feel like we have to be magical or like superheroes and continue just so we're where everybody else thinks we are, even though sometimes I think we're up here. So how do you navigate that stress? Because you're doing amazing things, but you're also human. So how do you juggle that? Do you feel sometimes like, am I doing enough? Am I on the right path? And what does that look like? And what advice would you give to other women of color dealing with the same things, wanting to do the same things?
Yeah, one, I would say like, the biggest thing is like the acknowledgement piece of just knowing that like we aren't perfect, even though society tells us that we have to be, and weighing just so many of those extra titles that are given to us, but maybe we didn't necessarily ask for. And one, it's the acknowledgement, as I said. And then two, it's so simple, yet like really focusing in on your breathing, which like, I know it might sound silly, but I've learned so many great like breathing techniques from my life coach, from and different resources too, like even from like my therapist. Of we created this like plan of care, and it's she's like, okay, what are little things that you can do to navigate when you're not having a good day? And we've done this numerous times now where we've had journaling sessions where it's like, what are some internal coping mechanisms you could do? That could be taking a walk. That could be, I love to juice. I started juicing. Juicing is so therapeutic for me. Like the slicing is like kind of like releasing some anger at times, whatever it may be, but then solely focusing on one thing because my mind goes in so many different directions once again, because we're wearing so many different hats. Trying to find something. The world and your to-do list may seem like this. How do I get here? How do I get here for a moment of pause? And that's breathing, trying to find small moments of peacefulness. For me, a lot of that, that's also like adding color, like color. And like, that's why I always like to have like colorful nails, because it just, it brings a sense of like, okay, focus in on this one thing, come back to it, hopefully with a better mind and better clarity. But I would say those two things. Hopefully that helped. I know it sounds super simple, but for me, it's helped.
I guess I wanted to say that I'm really happy that Kayla, Jasmine, and Teresa are able to find Latinas in this world and that impact them in their life and are able to see and impact other people. And I'm just glad to know that there are more Latinas in the world that make big impacts. When I was little, I started getting sick, and I got to a point where I had to go to the doctor and get checked up to see what was going on. And I believe I was like 5, and I just started getting really bad symptoms of face swelling, and I would get high fevers. When I was about 8, 9, they diagnosed me within 2 hospital visits with NKT cell lymphoma. It was pretty scary and like hard to believe. When I got diagnosed, I kind of went from hospital to hospital. So I was at the hospital in Rochester, and then we wanted a closer area to home, so we went to St. Jude in Peoria. And as I was getting treatment done there, there was a lady who would go in a couple times. Her name was Alice, she's a child life specialist. And she would go in and help the kids and just do activities, make activities for them to kind of just be interactive, because, you know, we were in bed and I was one of the kids that was stubborn and didn't want to get out of bed. So she would kind of make activities, and she made a really big impact on me, on just kind of inspiring me of what I want to do later on in my life. With my journey, and kind of, because I feel like my journey, what I went through having cancer, really impacted me in my life, but also inspired me to think, this is who I am. This, like, my journey made me become the strong woman I am today. And she inspired me of wanting to become a child life specialist. And I joined Love Girls in middle school, I believe 7th grade. And around that time, I was really nervous to go into middle school and kind of come out of my shell, because I guess my journey made me be very insecure. They very, very much impacted me in my life of being able to come out of my shell, be a strong woman, and be proud of who I am and proud of my scars and not be afraid and know that other people will take the time to listen to me and know that, kind of just like give me the courage to know that I am beautiful and know my worth. And I'm in that state right now where I'm getting to that.
So I knew Ileana when she was seventh grade. We're both feisty. And to this day, she doesn't believe me, but I tell her she is my favorite love girl of all time. And she never believes me. And it's because I see so much of myself in her. And just the fact that she's on this podcast right now, it feels like I love to see the growth. And not to say that, like, I don't think we're making a difference, but like we're watching it in real time and just seeing connecting you both from the Latina community. And like, I feel like Love Girls, Cintatulo, we make diversity intentional. And I think sometimes people outside of marginalized communities don't understand how important that is. And I'm just grateful that we can have this discussion with beautiful Black and Brown women. And my heart is full. This was an amazing way to end my Friday.
It's funny. It's funny to, and also endearing, heartwarming to hear Ileana talk about her experience and have like our own experiences with being mentors and also still trying to figure things out. And then, you know, you hear her side of the story where she feels like we poured so much love and intention in her, and we had. But sometimes you don't really feel like what you had intended to do or the impact you had intended to make necessarily hit. And then you hear from somebody else that it actually worked out amazing. And it just, it gives perspective. It just all makes me giggle. This whole conversation is making me very happy because it's combining so many things and so many people that I care very much about. And so I feel like 46. I do have just like one last question. Maybe two, we'll see. But I would love to hear about pie in the sky, like biggest dream in the world, like irrational, like what you see, what you hope for when it comes to your work and this brand and your career, just like in general. Like, I want to hear like best case scenario, like cannot believe it, mind blown, like where you would end up if you could, like be unreasonable.
Ileana, you're so well poised and well spoken. Like, as she was speaking, I was like, she is not this young. So
gracias.
Then now that, and so thank you for opening up in such a vulnerable way, but I know like podcasts and like this format could be very intimidating, so props to you on that. And thank you all for like curating what you do. I think it's beyond amazing, especially at a young age, which kind of goes into Jasmine, your question. And for me, I love being a student of the world. I love to travel. I was that family member that was like studying abroad and then just, where are you going like next month? Like, we didn't know that you were in Kenya doing X, Y, and Z. And then they're like, and for me to be a great representation of that for myself, because I wasn't able to do that at a young age. And now to be a representation of like Latinas do travel, like first gen individuals do travel. It is stepping out of surviving and into thriving when it comes to living. So that aspect. But then also I love what I do with like bringing individuals together. So wanting to do more retreats abroad, do what we're doing here in Chicago. And we've done events in LA, Dallas, and Minneapolis before. But to do that in like a new setting, something that was so what I thought unattainable is now like slowly just coming down. We're in talks with some resorts on having our retreat be in like on their property and how that could look. But I think, yeah, just doing, being more of a borderless brand. I know that we're so based in Chicago, but yeah, just wanting to expand beyond that and never worrying about money or finances. That'd be lovely too if we wanted to add in that extra layer. But That's what I would say. Continuing to be a student of the world.
The EIEs that I have known and experienced, you have always loved to travel, go new places. And so I feel like your brand is just a really good representation. I don't want to say of you, because I know that they're completely separate entities, and it's good to be separated from your brand in that way. But I think that it amplifies some of the best parts about like your personality. And yeah, I'm just really proud of you. If we can ever figure out a way for you to and Ileana and a few of our other fellows to meet in person, that would also be amazing. And Ileana, I will make sure I get you a t-shirt for Christmas. I guess I have to make that same promise to all the other fellows, because they will clock that and be upset that they did not also receive the gift. NIEs, thank you so much for your time and for your thoughts and for spending time with us, but also for the work that you're doing. It's important and it's necessary. And so if you haven't heard that in a while, we would like to be the people to remind you that you are needed in this world and your work is needed in this world. It is so extremely important what you're doing, and we're all rooting for you.
Thank you for thinking of me to be a part of this podcast and elevating my voice. So thanks for making my Friday.
Of course, you know, it's what we do best. At Love Girls the Podcast, we hope our listeners have had an amazing time hearing all the amazing work that NIEs is doing. Can you tell us where to find you on social media so that we can shop the merch and see the vibes for ourselves?
Absolutely. So on our Instagram, it is at SinTitoloShop. And then our website is SinTitoloShop.com. And there you have our online apparel shop. We have our events that we curate on there. You could even look at our past events to kind of see like what type of curations that we host. We have our travel blog on there. If individuals are interested in volunteering, there is a little form on there as well.
You heard it, people. Go buy something cute. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Love Girls the Podcast. And we will see y'all very, very soon. Bye.